The following program has been furnished and paid for by Auto Pros Radio Show, and KSCV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered. Rolling up the doors, the garage is open, and here we go, the Auto Pros Radio Show. And now, here's Robert, Jody, and Lynn, the Auto Pros.
All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio Show, second hour. Two for one hour.
Two for one, yeah.
Two questions for the price of one.
You shouldn't have called in the first hour. You could have gotten in double free.
That's right.
Double free in the second hour, right?
Double free, that's right.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KCV. Let's go out and talk to Candy in Clear Lake. She's been hanging on. Candy, you're up.
Yes, hi. I was calling to ask about the Audi A3. I'm looking at a 2018 and wondering if the maintenance costs are significantly higher than like a Subaru or a Japanese car. And also reliability.
How many miles are on it that you're looking at?
About 60,000.
Well, I mean, the maintenance costs are probably going to be a little higher than a Toyota or Nissan or something like that.
And the dependability is going to be not quite as strong as a Toyota.
Well, and the one thing you got to watch is a lot of the European cars, Audi, BMW, Mercedes, they have that oil change light set for a pretty long interval. And a lot of this stuff, I think, can be avoided if you just say, I'm going to change it every 5,000, forget about the light.
But if you're buying a 2018, you may be the third owner. So the first owner probably kept it while it was under warranty, may or may not have taken good care of it. The second owner may not have really been able to afford to have an Audi and take care of it. Mm-hmm. We just see a trend with a lot of the European vehicles that at some point there's an owner that did not do the required maintenance and then... And again, at some point, somebody pays a lot of money for that.
Mm-hmm. It's on Carfax for services. So,
Can you see like how often the oil was being changed mileage wise?
I need to pull it up and look. Mm-hmm.
I would look at that very close because I had a customer that had a BMW and it came on like every 10,000 miles.
And that's not adequate.
And he said, "Oh, I took it in religiously every time that light came in, and we had to take the valve cover off for something." I mean, that thing was so sludged up. It was incredible.
Yeah, so hopefully they've been doing oil changes more like every 5,000 miles, and then you may be.
Because that stands true for any vehicle. If you don't maintain it, you're going to build up a lot of sludge. It's just, as far as your normal maintenance, your oil changes and so forth, the cost of that versus other vehicles is not going to be astronomical. It's not going to be that much different, but... When you get into sometimes your diagnostics or any kind of major engine repair, things like that, that can get costly for you.
Even some of the suspension components can be a lot more expensive.
And the other thing on the oil changes is, when you have synthetic oil, you'll see full synthetic and then you'll see Euro full synthetic. Mm-hmm. If you've ever noticed, they'll say synthetic and Euro synthetic. And the Euro synthetic is usually going to be a couple dollars a quart more. And that's because the Euro synthetic is true synthetic oil. In some of the other stuff that's called synthetic, that's a whole other discussion about the two synthetics. But the ones that just say synthetic, they're not the same as the Euro synthetic, and they're not what I call true synthetic oil.
If you were looking at a WRX, a Subaru versus that Audi A3, would you have a clear choice, or would it depend?
I like to go fast, so I'd have the WRX. But I mean, like we were discussing last hour, if you buy an STI, now if you just get a WRX, that's one thing. If you get a WRX STI, the STI, the brakes and stuff can be very expensive on them. So if you buy one, just buy the regular WRX, and I would think I would rather have the Subaru over the Audi.
I would rather have the Subaru, but again, you want to look at maintenance because the WRX is a performance vehicle. Yeah. Look at who owned it. If a 20-year-old young person maybe owned it, I might look for a different WRX.
Yeah.
Look for, you know, look for the one that somebody old and, like me.
Yeah,
but, yeah, well, maybe not like me because I probably still would drive it fast.
If you're buying from a dealer, you know, they might be able to pull the maintenance history from the previous owner for you.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, we always recommend anytime you buy a pre-owned vehicle, get a good, you know, used car inspection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you buy it, because you never know where the car came from. You know, it could have came from up north, and you get up underneath there, and you find there's a whole lot of rust, and then that's a whole different avenue right there. You don't want to even go down.
Well, and that Audi, if I heard you right, 60,000 miles, that's a really big deal, too. If you stay under 75,000 miles, take it to a shop that uses BG products and get it baseline. Get all those fluids turned over, changed out to BG, and you'll get their lifetime protection on those systems as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of my concerns is that the WRX is, I'm going to have to buy one that has about 90 to 100,000 miles to be able to afford it at the same price that I could get that Audi.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know if it's a good idea to go buy a car with 100,000 miles on it.
Well, I would prefer one with less miles.
Right.
You know, if you're gonna buy a pre-owned, you know, the lower the mileage, you know, obviously the better. And it's not that the A3 is a bad vehicle at all, you know, but again, you could incur some costs. So if you're going to buy it from a dealership, I would probably buy an extended warranty with that and, you know, find out what type of coverage that they're going to offer you. That way you have some peace of mind if you did have a engine issue or a transmission issue or you know, suspension components, that you're going to have coverage on that through an extended warranty, so you don't have to bear that extra cost.
Okay. All right.
Hey, this is Candy's husband. I talked to y'all earlier. How much more expensive are, you know, parts on an Audi versus a Subaru?
You know, everything ranges in price. And right now, parts are up.
Yeah.
Some parts are going to be a little more expensive for European just across the board. You know, it's kind of hard to say unless you really know what kind of parts you're looking for. You're kind of going back to the brakes, you know, on the WRX versus the Audi, something like that.
Well, and Candy, if this is for a newer driver, which I kind of got that impression from the previous call, I wouldn't put an inexperienced driver in a powerful vehicle, a sports vehicle like a WRX.
Okay.
You're just, you know, you're giving him trouble. You know, you're giving him or her an opportunity to get in more trouble than they need to.
That and the insurance.
Yeah, just kind of
go check with your insurance agent and see what it's going
to
cost.
But just to kind of give you a comparison, like we gave you the brakes, about $2,500 on that WRX STI, and looking at the A3, your front pads are about $100. Okay, and then your brake rotors are about $100. So, yes, a lot less expensive on the brake side of it, you know, just for one comparison.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you giving me this information.
All right, good talk. Let us know what you find.
Yeah, send us a photo.
Can I ask you a question on gasoline? What if you use regular gas when you're supposed to use premium? How does that affect the car?
Oh, on the WRX, you have to use premium.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'll detonate. And it'll cause big problems, engine damage.
Do Audis? Do you know if they require premium?
If it says premium, you got it. I would use premium.
That's what that engine's designed to run on.
That's
high
right.
octane fuel.
It needs that octane. It has really high compression.
Yeah, any higher compression engine is going to require that. So you don't want to downgrade on the fuel.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, if it says it takes premium leaded,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and I just know from experience when you put regular in there, you hear it.
Ping, 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 ping.
Yeah, it just starts retarding the timing.
You always want to worry about what you don't hear.
That's true, right? What's going on inside?
Yeah, I know. I went down that road once when I was young. Had a 280 ZX, and I'd built a motor for it, and I never heard it ping. But, man, when that piston lost all its compression, I took it apart and all them ringlands were broke. I was like, must have been detonating.
Must have been.
So, where are we going, Jody?
Let's run out to Daryl out on the cell phone. He's got a question on a Ford Ranger. Good morning, Daryl. Welcome to Auto Pros Radio Show.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you. I got a little 95 Ford Ranger, and it seemed like I put a fuel pump in this thing, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Well, it was sitting there. Make a long story short, I pulled the pump out of it, and man, that son of a gun, I mean, it is rusted. The pickup tube part looks like it's been laying on the beach somewhere, and the outer layer of metal on the pump is just flaking off, and it looked like it had some kind of like rubbery tar or something coming out of the bottom. I mean, You think there's something in the gas, maybe the ethanol?
Ethanol.
Ethanol.
That's ethanol causing that.
It is.
And I wondered about that, and I said, because this is, what just said, this is a little retirement project, is all it is. I'm building it up, and one day I'll drive it. So, but anyway, I was just curious about that.
Have you owned it for a long time, or you just bought it?
Oh, I bought it from a friend of mine, and it sat for 2 years before I got it. It had the windows rolled down, and everything in the neighborhood was living in it.
Oh, and if it was setting, like, with no fuel in the tank, all that stuff's going to rust.
And it looked like, you know how depth fluid looks when it dries out, kind of
crinkled
looking?
Right,
That looked like it was on the pickup tube and on the pump also.
Yeah, it crystallizes up. Daryl, I've got a little motorcycle that ethanol ate right through the brass on the petcock. I mean, literally.
Man, don't even talk to me about
it.
That. I got a 2018 Harley sitting here. I don't hardly ride. I don't want to hear that.
Use non-ethanol fuel if you possibly
can. Yeah, and if that tank's rusted inside, you need to either replace it or take it out and get it clean and coated.
Yeah. On the motorcycle?
No. Well,
either one.
On either one, but the Ranger. Yeah.
Oh, the Ranger's got a plastic tank in it.
Okay. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and make sure you change that fuel filter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just shocked me because it's Delphi brand that I put in there. Yeah. I replaced the bed from a fleet side to a step side. And I said, well, while I'm here, I just put a new pump in it while I got it off. Mm-hmm. And I'll be John Brown. That son of a gun, it just sitting there idle and just quit. And I thought, oh, man, now what? So I told him in half. You know, I was out there with a voltmeter and everything else. I said, you know what? I'm going to quit this. I'm just going to go to the original source and check it out first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found.
So what brand of fuel do you typically run?
Oh, it's just a little old corner gas station over here. I use that for my lawnmowers and weed eaters and stuff.
Because I know not all ethanol fuels are the same, and I know some absorb more moisture than others.
Yeah.
From experience, I know that. So I know when I run Shell does not absorb as much moisture as some of the cheaper brands do.
Right.
And I mean, literally – some of those cheap brands, well, it's just shocking how much moisture it'll pull out of the air.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, man, it's probably 40 years ago. I used to haul gasoline, and I'm familiar with that. And there's one station, oil gas station chain that got bought out. I had another little Ranger at that time. And that son of a gun, if I used their regular gas, you'd have swore I was burning pine knots in it. It would clatter. Diesel sit there and just clatter. Mm-hmm. But, I'll tell you one little interesting fact, and I'll get off the phone. We used to load gasoline, and we'd have to go to another refinery and load ethanol, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the elbow there, the manifold set up they had right there on the ship channel, they had a 5-gallon bucket sitting there because it was leaking, and that 5-gallon bucket would catch that ethanol. And I said, what do I do with this when that bucket fills up? He said, it never fills up. I said, what do you mean? It's leaking in it. He said, no, it'll get halfway, and that's it. It'll stop. It'll never come to the top. I said, well, where'd it go? He said, it evaporates.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I thought that was just kind of interesting fact.
Yeah. Right. But if you kind of put a new fuel pump and everything in there and run fuel, if you're not going to drive it or drive it much. Ethanol Defender kit, because a Carbon Fighter 5 gives you ethanol protection, but if you do get moisture in there, Defender side of it, that helps that water burn through the fuel system safely.
Yeah, and that'd be a good thing to put in your Harley. It doesn't run all the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it's for sale. Hopefully somebody owns it pretty soon, I hope. But anyway. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate it, man. Y'all try to have a good weekend. Stay out of trouble.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call.
All right. We want to back out here and take a quick break. Logan, out there in Conroe, hang on. We'll catch you when we come back. You've been listening to Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KCB The Voice. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Robert. Thank you for tuning in to Auto Pros Radio. If you need us during the week, email us at info@autoprosradio.com. You can listen to all of our episodes by going to autoprosradio.com, and you can find a list of our approved shops located all around Houston and surrounding areas. And don't forget to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday from 10 to noon on KSEV.
Auto Techtronics, your one-stop automotive service center. A family-owned and operated repair shop that has been in business for 40 years, serving the Katy, Texas, and surrounding areas, providing all types of mechanical and electrical automotive repair work for both import and domestic models with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Autotektronics also performs all the factory scheduled maintenance for your vehicle. Robert Gruner and his staff of technicians pride themselves on taking care of their customers and doing repairs right the first time. Located at 5330 East 5th Street in Old Katy, give them a call, 281-391-7617, and schedule an appointment today. That's 281-391-7617, Autotektronics in Katy.
BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance. Carbon buildup in your engine will reduce your fuel economy, cause engine hesitation, rough idle, and excessive oil consumption. BG Products has you covered for all your fluid maintenance services and fuel system cleaning needs. They are so confident in the quality of their product, they back it up with a lifetime protection plan. All of our Auto Pros preferred service centers offer the BG services because they work. Find a list of preferred service centers at autoprosradio.com or go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG service center near you. That's BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance.
Is your transmission slipping, jerking, or making funny noises? Well, let me recommend the great folks at Gary's Transmission Service. Whether you have a classic car or a late model vehicle, Gary's will diagnose your problem and let you know if it's a transmission problem or something else that makes it feel like a transmission problem. The experts at Gary's Transmissions are trained in today's most complex transmissions for both foreign and domestic. All transmission rebuilds come with a local 2-year, 24,000-mile parts and labor warranty, including annual preventive maintenance service at no charge during the warranty period. Quality transmission repairs done right. 281-347-8888. Gary's Transmission Service.
Are you needing to have your vehicle's scheduled maintenance performed or mechanical repairs done? Don't wait. Go to autoprosradio.com, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area, and give them a call today to schedule an appointment to have your vehicle serviced and have that peace of mind your vehicle will be safe. And remember to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV.
Welcome back to Auto Pros Radio on this beautiful Saturday morning in Houston, Texas. I'm Lynn Beckwith with Beckwith's Car Care out in Humble. And across the table from me is Mr. Robert Gruner with Autotektronics in Katy.
Yes, ma'am.
And our diesel dynamo and warranty wizard, Mr. Jody Chesser.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to be back in the house.
Yeah, fun Saturday.
It is.
And I believe Logan held through the break.
Yeah, Logan.
Hey there, Logan. How are you? How can we help you?
I'm doing all right. Marv's grandson here again. I called last week about my truck, the 91 F-150.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I tested the TPS. Oh, I'm sorry. Want me to give you a... Anyways.
I remember it. Go ahead.
All right. The high idle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, right. So I tested the TPS. It was between all the way closed, it's 0.7. All the way open is 4.7.
Right.
So, and I know you said 0.9 when at closed, correct?
Yeah, usually just under 1 volt is what you want. And but the key is that when you drive it, like as you're driving it around, that it always comes back to that.
Yeah.
And that it never, like one time you come back and it's at 1.2 or something.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So it always comes back to your 7/10 or whatever?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then...
I actually fixed it, and the fix was I was talking to my boss. I work here at Nick's Auto Restoration in Conroe, mm-hmm. and he was talking to one of the guys at the Ford dealership up here, and one of the guys said replace the vacuum line going between the MAP sensor and the intake manifold, and right. That actually fixed it.
Mm-hmm. Did it have a hole in it, or?
Say that again?
Did it have a hole in it? The vacuum line?
I don't know. It looked all right, but replacing that definitely fixed it.
Huh. Yeah, because usually for that to have an effect, it has a hole in it, you know?
Yeah, unless it was leaking right where it goes to the intake or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, sometimes it gets soft right there.
Yeah. Doesn't seal good.
Yeah, and the way you check those map sensors is key on, engine off. It should read 159 hertz at, you know, key on, engine off. At sea level, it's 159 hertz. And they'll usually get off to where instead of reading 159, they'll read like 145 or something like that. But then usually you get a lot of lean codes and a bunch of other stuff along with it.
Let I replaced it as well. Mm-hmm. And anyways, I learned something talking to you guys, and I appreciate that.
All right. We'll send you an invoice.
We're glad you got it fixed.
Yeah, thank you,
Jerry. All right, thank you. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Let's run out and talk to Nick on a 95 Honda. Nick, you're up.
Yeah, I've got that old Honda. I had to have some work done on it. The mechanic shop across the street had to replace it. It's set up for a long, long time. And they replaced the tank, had replaced tank pump and injectors. Mm-hmm. But they left a sensor unplugged right underneath the distributor.
Okay.
And I plugged it back up, and the engine just ran terrible. It stumbled and eventually died.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that sensor, Googling or whatever, that it has something to do with the fuel.
Coolant temperature?
Fuel, and I think the fuel mixture or something.
Yeah, those would go bad. That's usually where the coolant temperature sensor is, and they would go bad to where it would make it think that it's really cold, and it would just run super rich.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be just the opposite way.
And the cooling fan wouldn't come on. With a fan motor, is good. I found that out. I've checked it. Its fan will run, but the cooling fan wouldn't come on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If it thinks your vehicles are, you know, that the engine's already too cool.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. And I assumed that the sensor was bad when you, mm-hmm. you know, when you plugged it back up and it ran like hell.
Right.
So I got another sensor for it and put it in. I had to take the whole distributor off to get to it. It's just right in underneath there. You can't even hardly get your hands in there. And anyway, I put a new sensor in it, but the connector was just butchered. It was just mutilated. You couldn't even want to plug it on.
Right.
And I got new pigtail. Got a little pigtail.
Right.
And I was just curious. Now there's two wires on
right.
it. The two wires on the pigtail. One is yellow. One is black.
Mm-hmm.
On the other wires you connect it to, one is red with a white stripe and one is green. Now, does it make any difference which wires you connect to each other?
It really shouldn't matter because it's just a resistor and it's just feeding the 5-volt reference through it. So it really shouldn't matter which way it goes because the resistor doesn't have the sensor should not have something like a diode in it or anything. It should just be a resistor.
Okay, so that's
it shouldn't really matter. I mean, might be able to get like a connector view that would tell you for sure if you're real interested in it. But it shouldn't matter, you know,
resistor. Good enough.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter if I was guessing.
When y'all connect a pigtail, do you normally do you use those butt connectors with the shrink wrap or twist the wires together and solder them?
What I normally do is I use butt connectors, but they're not anything you're going to buy at the parts house. The ones I use are like it's a real heavy steel connector. So when you crimp it, I mean, it ain't coming apart. And it's because those ones you buy at the parts house that are in the blue plastic or red plastic or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, in a pinch, I'll strip the plastic off of them and just use the metal part. But they're very thin and they're not near as rigid as the ones I buy because they're kind of like the ones I buy almost look chrome. I mean, they're real shiny looking. But, I mean, when you crimp them, you can tell it takes a lot more force to crimp because it's a lot thicker, more rigid material. And then I use clear heat shrink. And the reason why I use clear heat shrink so I can see when I have it perfectly centered over the thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, because I... Because I you know, inevitably I'd always get the black, and I'd look at it, and I'd slide it back and forth. Go, okay, that should be middle, and then I heat it up. Oh man, it's off the one side.
So with the clear,
with the clear, it's pretty bulletproof. But okay. I usually crimp and heat shrink.
All right. Well, I was wondering if I could just maybe, you know, just twist them together and then crimp them and then solder them.
Well, you can
put heat shrink.
Yeah, you can twist it together and then solder it and then put heat shrink over it.
Yeah, would you say crimp it too after you twist them together?
I don't know. You can't really crimp it if you're just twisting them together. There's nothing really to crimp, you know.
Not if you're going to solder. As long as
you're going to solder, you should be good.
A good joint, and then heat shrink it.
Yeah.
Then you're good, because once you solder it properly, you're not going to be able to pull it apart.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll do that then. That's okay. That's all I needed to know.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. Where are we going?
We have open lines.
There we go.
281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. 2-for-1 special.
We're talking about electrical wiring. You know, there's a lot of vibration in a vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, something that you might be able to do in your home isn't going to hold up when it's going down the road.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you always want to make the proper repair, because just doing the little butt connectors and just leaving them alone like that, you know, you're gonna get moisture in there. It's gonna start to corrode. Then you're gonna end up with wiring issues right there. So you always want to properly do it, whether it's like Robert said, using the proper crimp
and like
heat
the
shrink.
Clear heat shrink. That's a great idea.
So I was looking here on that Honda just for the heck of it. If I'm looking at the right one, the coolant sensor has two wires, of course. In one of the spots where the wire goes, it has like the index tang on it, like where you can only plug it in one way. And where that index tang is, that's where the red and white wire goes. So there you go.
There's the answer, Nick.
But I mean, if it's just a resistor, it shouldn't matter which way it goes. Doesn't matter which way it flows. So give us a call, 281-558-5738. Where are we going? Nowhere.
I bought some really cool little electrical connectors for the wiring I'm doing in the van. And I'm looking up now because I don't remember what they were called, but they have these little like doors you open on each side. Flip ups.
Yeah.
And they're real stable. Vibration's not going to take them out. Not what you would put under the hood of a vehicle. But
I've seen those before.
Yeah.
And it's a little bulky.
Wouldn't. I don't think they would have a good application under the hood.
Yeah, they were a little bulky.
But if you need to get a good crimp, I would do the crimp that's clear and then has a heat shrink made on it.
Yeah.
So you can make a nice job. You know, those came out for airbags originally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what those
were. Which one are you talking about?
The clear ones are the crimps with the heat shrink that's all made on and clear.
And you just heat it up with something and it melts it all together?
Well, you can crimp it, but then you have heat shrink on both sides
where you heat it up.
And
yeah.
It's kind of an all-in-one. But yeah, I was told that they came out originally for airbag repairs. But you remember way back when, a manufacturer didn't want you to repair a connector bypass a connector on an airbag. Now it's pretty much the procedure.
Bypass this to keep the light
coming on. Bypass the connector, because we've seen a lot of issues with the connectors. Mm-hmm. They're always that yellow connector for your airbag, but they have a lot of problem with pin tension, you know, on there, and then you get false codes and things like that. So
It's usually the one
they want to wire around it, bypass the connector.
Usually the one under the seat, because that seat's been moved back and forth so many times.
Yeah, that's the one that gets the workout, or the side airbag when you tilt the seat forward, backwards, so forth. Yeah, it really gives it a workout. So, but you always want to do, anytime you do an airbag repair, you want to follow the proper procedures.
Yeah, we had a Lincoln Town Car in this week, and one of my techs, Jim, he was working on it, and it had a bunch of whole slew of transmission codes, wooden shift. It was in failsafe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an older town car, like early 2000 or something like that. And where one of the connectors comes over the back of the engine and down over the bell housing and stuff, there's a little, like a 8-pin connector there. And just that power wire pin was burnt up inside there.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it's hard to find, when there's just a pin inside of a connector.
Yeah, and in a case like that, I mean, what we had to do is just put a bypass around it, because there was no buying it. You know,
you're not going to find that connector.
You're not going to find those terminals, and it was just almost impossible to get to. So we ended up just bypassing it to areas where we could get to it. You know, Yeah. So unless somebody want to pull a transmission out, then
we call it overlay in the harness.
That's right. It's an overlay.
So a little earlier, you wanted to talk about oil. Here's your chance. Rick from Clear Lake, welcome to Auto Pros Radio.
Hey, guys. Yeah. I appreciate you letting me call you back. Yeah. What do y'all think about the Pennzoil Platinum oil that's made from natural gas? Mm. It's supposed to last a long time. What's your opinion on that?
I don't know.
I think Pennzoil is a great product. Yeah. You know, I don't have any issue with it, but you know, it's still one of those things that you got to change the oil.
Yeah, so, no matter how long they say it's going to last, that's under a laboratory condition. You want to change your oil on a very regular basis.
So the way you know if it's true synthetic is when
it
you look
be full synthetic.
Okay, well, I know, but when you look at it, if it says API SL or whatever that is now. Mm-hmm. Then you got to look for the one that says ACA, A3A5, because the ACA is the European equivalent of the API. And ACA says we're not putting our stamp on something that's not true synthetic.
Okay.
So over here, the API said, "Hey, if it's highly refined and it exhibits full synthetic characteristics, you can call it full synthetic." That's the story of synthetic and pseudo-synthetic.
Well, and then, you know, to take it one step down from that, when you start looking at synthetic blends, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of vehicles are fine now with a synthetic blend. There is nothing regulating the percentage of synthetic versus traditional.
Yeah, they could put 5% in there and call it synthetic.
You think
blend means 50-50.
Yeah.
But it don't.
It could be literally an eyedropper full of synthetic in a container.
Yeah. And if you have your owner's manual, in many cases, it will show that same label that they're going to have on the bottle of oil. Mm-hmm. They'll have that same designation label in the owner's manual, and that's what you want to run. That make sure you run the right oil and the right weight.
Yeah, like if you go look at a quart of True Mobile 1, and you look on the back, it'll say meets ACA standards, blah, blah, blah. Where you look on some other ones that say they're full synthetic, that ACA rating is not on there anywhere. And that right there tells you it's not true synthetic. And usually when that's the case, that non-true synthetic is going to be $4 a quart, and the full synthetic is going to be $7 a quart.
Okay.
So okay. Go to Walmart, look at all that oil. You'll see what I'm talking about.
you said it was ACA 838?
Well, it's the organization is the ACA.
Uh-huh.
Then the A3, A5, and then it'll have an A2, B5 or something. That's all designations of whether it's a gas engine, a diesel engine. You know, that's the different models of, let's say, models of oil. So the big thing you look for is that ACA rating on there.
Okay. So which oils would you recommend? Which ones would you not? A Mobile 1?
I mean, Mobile 1's good. I mean, that's a good, because you can buy that just about anywhere.
Well, and if you're going to change your oil every 5,000 miles, as you should, you're probably okay with the API rating. You know, you still want, you know, to use what they're calling a full synthetic, but you're going to be okay with that.
Yeah, it's the ACEA, and it's the European Automobile Manufacturers Association. That's what they call it.
Okay.
But, yeah, if you want to use, you know, Mobile 1, Pennzoil, any of the good name brands, but look for that designation on the label. That's the really important part. But just don't go buy the brand X, you know, at the convenience store, unless you, you know, need
Golden
oil
State.
And a pinch or something.
Yeah, if you're out of oil, use whatever you need to use to get home.
But yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, not on a regular basis.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
It's confusing. There's so many varieties these days.
Right.
It's like going to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah, I know, because when I first ran into this, I was going, why is this synthetic $3 a quart and this one's $7 a quart?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I started looking into it, and I was like, oh.
Well, and the additives they're using make a difference. You know, I mean, you can have a synthetic product that doesn't have as many additives as the more expensive one might.
All right, we're going to back out here and take our last break. So this is your last chance to get in. If you've got a question, give us a call, 281-558-5738. You've been listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSC The Voice. We'll be right back.
You don't have to look too far to find an honest, skilled, and friendly auto service center in your area. It's really simple. Just visit AutoProsRadio.com. All of the AutoPros Radio's preferred service centers boast decades of experience and are dedicated to hiring, training, and keeping the most skilled automotive professionals in the industry and have a reputation for outstanding customer service. No matter where you are, go to AutoProsRadio.com to find a great automotive shop near you. Or check us out on Facebook at AutoPros Radio.
Beckwith Car Care has been servicing the Humboldt, Atascocita, and surrounding areas for more than 35 years. You don't stay in business that long without providing great customer service and repairs done right the first time. Beckwith has factory-trained technicians that know how to diagnose and repair your vehicle. They provide a nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service to work, home, or play. They also can arrange to pick up your vehicle if needed. Visit Beckwith.com and schedule an online appointment today to have your vehicle repaired or maintenance services performed. Give them a call, 281-540-2000. That's 281-540-2000. Beckwith Car Care.
David's Auto Central in Stafford has been performing quality automotive service and preventive maintenance for over 35 years. Their technicians are ASC certified and trained to handle all your automotive needs. From air conditioning, brakes, electrical repairs, diagnostic service, engine repairs, and much more. Let the fine folks at David's Auto Central take care of your automotive needs. Located at 2526 Fifth Street in Stafford. That's 281-499-9684. That's 281-499-9684. David's Auto Central.
Green and White Automotive has been servicing Spring and surrounding areas since 1977. Their ASC certified technicians will diagnose and repair both import and domestic vehicles and back those repairs with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Now that is peace of mind. Do you have a diesel truck? No problem. Green and White Automotive is your local diesel expert. They understand your time is valuable and will get you back on the road in a timely manner. And they also have a free shuttle service to work or home. Automotive repair and maintenance service all at a fair price. Give them a call today. 281-353-7682. That's Green and White Automotive, 281-353-7682.
Hi, this is Jody. If you missed part of the show, no worries. Go to AutoProsRadio.com. If you need some repairs or general maintenance performed to keep your vehicle safely on the road, click on the preferred automotive shops and find a repair shop in your area recommended by Robert, Jody, and Lynn, the Auto Pros. Have a car question during the week? Send us an email at info@autoprosradio.com. And remember to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV.
All right, welcome back to Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Robert with Auto Techtronics, here with Mr. Jody Chester and Ms. Lynn Beckwith.
Howdy, y'all.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. Let's run out and talk to Mary in Cypress. Mary, you're up.
Hi, I have a 2011 Toyota Tundra truck, mm-hmm. and the check engine lights are on, and it's for the transmission. The thing is, I took it to the dealer, and he drove it around. He turned the lights off, and he said there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. He drove it, and I have been driving it for 2 years now, or about a year and a half, and they're still on, and it drives absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Is there a sensor or anything that could be out showing that it's a transmission issue?
I mean, there's lots of things. It'll cause a transmission code. You don't have any idea what the code was, do you?
Oh, no. There were two of them, too. I don't recall, but since it's driving fine and the dealer told me that it's driving fine, that he couldn't find anything wrong.
But you still have the check engine light.
Yes.
Keeps coming back. So one of the codes, it could be for, a torque converter clutch slip speed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's not going to give you any type of shifting issue or anything like that. All that says is when the computer commanded the torque converter clutch to go into lockup, Okay, it did not see a reduction in RPM, and it will set that code because it thinks it's got a slip within that clutch. Okay, but it's not going to give you any kind of issue. Like, say if you had a transmission shift solenoid or something that was failing electronically, it would default it to where it would take off in, like, third gear. We call that limp mode.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say without really knowing the code, but just kind of off the top of my head, that's the only code for the torque converter clutch, which is going to be like a PO740 or 741 code. And that's really the only one that I can think of that's really not going to give you a transmission shifting concern.
I think the temp sensor, too. Sensor.
Well, the only thing the temp sensor would do, it would cause it to shift harder.
A little bit harder.
Yeah. It's going to make it shift harder.
Okay.
That's performance mode.
But, Mary, if you could get that code and you could give us a shout back, say, next week or whatnot, and we'd be glad to take a look at it a little further.
I will do that.
Because
I would love to get it fixed. They kind of recommended me just to keep driving it until something kind of happened.
How many miles are on that?
186,000.
Okay. And you're in Cyprus. You could go see our friends, Gary, at Gary's Transmission Service in Katy.
Okay.
He's on Franz Road, and if you have a pen handy, we can give you his number. But he's well-versed in those Toyota Tundra transmissions. It's a great transmission. But at least have him take a look at it for you and kind of know if it's something that, something that's easily repaired. Because if you have a check engine light on, you know, you're dealing with state inspection issues.
Right.
It comes off when I take the battery cables off, and come off about 300 miles.
Yeah, it just goes and it clears the history out, and then once it sees a fault, and if it takes 300 miles, it's probably going to be something with a torque converter clutch because that's going to set something over time of driving for the most
part. Is that an expensive repair where you have to take the whole transmission apart?
Well, usually the two culprits that cause that code for the torque converter clutch, number one, the torque converter, the clutch inside there itself could be worn. Mm-hmm. But then you can also have a pressure loss inside through the stator shaft that feeds the fluid through the torque converter and stator shaft. Mm-hmm. But it very well may just be a torque converter. But Gary, like I said, he can take a look at it for you. Don't clear the code. Take it in there with the check engine light on and just tell him that you talked with us and that you need to get it diagnosed.
Because I didn't know where else to take it. I thought the dealership would know more than anybody else, but apparently they didn't.
I'm surprised they just tell you to drive it.
They booted you down the road, it sounds like. But, yeah, if you have a pen handy, we'd be glad to give you Gary's number.
I can remember that. I'm in driving, but I'll stop in just a minute, and I can write Gary's Transmission.
Gary's Transmission Services on Franz Road in Katy.
Yeah, if you go to autoprosradio.com, we got a link there to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. All I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
The other thing about having a check engine light on is sometimes it is not affecting the way a vehicle drives, even if it's not transmission related, but then there's not a light to come back on if you have another problem that could cause problems.
Right. You never know if there's something else going
on. Yeah, you've lost your warning system at that point. So I always hate to see a check engine light completely ignored.
No, yeah, you don't want to ignore it.
But it's scary. People think it's expensive. Sometimes it's not.
Well, and if they clear the code and they test drive it, well, it's fine. It doesn't come back. They probably drove it 2 miles, 3 miles or something.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not having an issue, drivability issue, shifting issue or whatnot. It's fine. They're going to charge you an hour to check it out and send it down the road. And in many cases like that, you know, you talk about taking it to the dealer. That's a 2011 model. Some of them shy away from vehicles
over 10 years old. Yeah.
Well, and there's a misconception that the dealers know more. Sometimes the dealers have some information we struggle to get in the aftermarket, but we can usually find it somewhere. And I believe that most independent shops are more dedicated to finding it, really finding what's going on with your vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, the dealers are very good when it comes to, I think, pattern failure on new cars. You know, because they see them. That's all they see.
Well, Toyota technicians are great. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. If you go to independent, if you go to a dealer, it's the quality of the technician that's employed there. You know, and I've worked with many of technicians at an independent shop that came from Toyota. And one thing that I learned, they're not real good at diagnosing problems because Toyota is such a great product. It's usually general maintenance. Yeah. And if you do have a transmission problem, when you go into Toyota, they don't do anything with it. It's replaced. Period. So that's why having a good quality transmission shop like Gary's Transmission Service.
Great place to go.
You know, he'll diagnose it, and, you know, maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's a sensor or whatnot, but he'll be able to give her the answer, and then she can make that decision if it's something she wants to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Peace of mind.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. 5738. Again, we are getting ready to put the wheels on the Auto Pros Radio Show, April the 27th for the Longhorn Rod Run out in Old Town Spring.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Free admission. Free, yes. Free is good.
Well, and free admission today, if you're looking for something to do out in the northeast corner of our world, the Atascocita Junior ROTC has their first annual car show at Atascocita High School. It's started now, actually. It started, I believe, at 11 o'clock and goes until 4. So go out there and support the ROTC.
This is the time of year. You start seeing a lot of car shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And get out, and a lot of people heading out and go look at the blue bonnets and, you know, things like that. A lot of folks heading out for the eclipse. There's a lot of people on the road right now.
Yeah, and the blue bonnets are starting to fade away a little bit. So if you want to go see them, this is a great weekend to hit the road, other than the fact that everybody's hitting the road to see the eclipse.
Right. Yeah, right.
So. Leave about 2 in the morning if you want to go see that.
Right.
So, Lynn, aren't you going to have a celebration out at your place here coming
up? We sure are. We're really excited. On May the 3rd, it's a Friday afternoon from 4 to 7, and we have, we're celebrating our 35th anniversary. We're not quite as far into it as you are, Robert.
Congratulations.
But, yeah, thank you. So our 35th anniversary, we have live music and
open bar, ribeye steaks for everybody.
Well, open bar and a lot of Cajun food.
Hey.
So by all means, come out and say hello to Team Beckwith.
Might have to take a run over there.
May the 3rd.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try and make it. I figure I'll come out there and check it out.
Nice. Well, we'll have a lot of fun.
May the 3rd. Yeah, I just might have to do that myself.
Yeah.
That'd be the Friday right after the car show.
Yep.
In spring. So,
it sure is.
I just might have to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'll buy extra vodka.
We have to drive.
We're actually going to serve pink Cadillac cocktails.
Nice. And you said Cajun food. Are you doing crawfish or what are you doing?
No, actually we have
that's way too expensive now.
Cajun empanadas.
Ah, nice.
And bacon wrapped chicken bites that are kind of like those jalapeno, you know.
Well, you got me with bacon
things.
Right there.
Bacon,
right?
Yeah.
Bacon makes everything,
buddy. Right.
You put on ice cream, right?
And boudin balls. So.
Oh, those are really good.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we should have a lot of fun. And Ryan Pinnick is a musician that's going to be out, and he plays a great variety. You know, so many solo acoustic musicians play a lot of twangy country, and that's all they play.
Right.
Ryan plays a really big assortment, so he'll be playing from 4 to 7.
Well, that'll be fun. Right.
Where are we heading, Jody?
Let's go out to Bob out in Houston. Bob, welcome to the Auto Pros Radio Show.
Yes, good morning. Last week you guys said you want to hear symptoms, not diagnosis.
Right.
So my wife's singer, she pushed the start button to start it. It's a 2018. She only got about 50,000. I pushed the start button, and it wouldn't start. And then, 15 minutes later, it started. So I brought it over to our mechanic shop, a pretty reputable place, and they replaced the brake switch light. And it worked for a couple of days. But this morning, you touch that button, and it won't start. Then you have to just push it again. And that's where I'm at. And the guy over at POTUS, he said they may have to keep the car and leave it on a machine to try and create that.
So when you say no start, you mean it doesn't crank at all, or does it crank and won't start?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't crank.
Okay. Yeah, because so now you're saying if you're stepping on the brake pedal, you hit the button, it doesn't start, and then you hit it a second time, it does start, or?
Yes, but like last week, it wouldn't start at all for about 15 minutes, and then it started, and I brought it in, and the guy replaced the brake switch light, and which sounded good to me. And anyway, that's where I'm at. So, am I going in the right direction?
So, but it is different now. The no start is different than it was before they replaced the brake light switch.
It's probably the same thing, but it start, like just happened this morning. She pushed the button, nothing, and then 2 seconds later, she pushed the button again, and it started right up.
Yeah, I mean. You need to take it over and let them, if they can experience the issue, you know, then it should be pretty easy to run down. I mean, because I would,
it might not happen for a couple more days.
Well, yeah, that's what
I just keep it.
getting it to repeat. I mean, you did just let him keep it and let it get to repeat, you know, because it could be a bad starter. You know, it could be a bad starter relay. It could be, you know, you just got to have it do it enough times to where you can you know nail it down, you know.
He went through all those things just what you mentioned. He
right.
said just exactly what but that guy on your show, that guy in Tektronix.
Yes, sir.
He's a brainiac.
He is. He's got a few brain cells floating around up there.
Yeah, I've lost a lot too, though.
It's that wild lifestyle he leads.
Is it always?
You know?
Is it always started on the second try, or not always?
Yes, but it only occurred, like they did it last week, and it just happened this morning. Otherwise, it starts just fine.
And you don't get any type of message that says key fob not detected or anything like that?
Nothing at all. No.
Have you tried using a different key fob?
Yes, and I replaced the batteries.
Okay.
And everything, did them all.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Robert on that. It could be a intermittent starter issue, starter relay problem. That's the trouble that you run into with the intermittent problem. But if it's something that you can leave with them over there at POTUS, then I'm sure Casey and JP and those folks over there would be able to fix it for you. It's just try to reproduce.
Yeah, just give it. Let them have another shot at it, and just give it. You know, leave it there long enough for them to. You know, because that's always the challenge when you have an intermittent problem. It's just getting it to do it. Usually,
so it
if
doesn't
you,
register anything, like you know, like in a computer somewhere saying, "Hey, once upon a time, this didn't start."
Yeah. Well.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, maybe. It kind of depends, I mean, on the car, the system, and all that, and what it monitors.
Oh, I see.
Because sometimes it may see that you pressed the button, but it never saw any RPM, like the engine never cranked. And so it may set some kind of code like that. I don't know on a Kia. Like I say, everybody's got their own way of doing it.
Well, yeah. It depends what it's set. You have to look at all different modules because you have your engine control module, your body control modules, anti-theft control modules. Yep. You know, you have to go in there and really look at all that and try to – and they all communicate with each other, but, you know, you're trying to pinpoint it down. If you had a code or something, I don't find any technical service bulletins or anything related to that kind of issue. So it's just something that, you know, you're probably going to have to be patient with them to be able to find it, but I'm sure they'll be able to fix it.
Yeah. And Casey said, you know, the dealer – he said they had a bunch of those brake switches.
Right.
And that was a real common situation.
That was a really common problem.
Yeah. What's that?
I said that was a common problem, that brake light switch.
Yeah. So I'm going to stay with it. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for the help.
Sure. You're welcome. Let us know how it turns out.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
You know, it used to be you turned the ignition and that sent power to the starter and your car. And
BCM says, where's the fob? Oh, there's the fob. Right. Oh, it's the correct fob. Okay, ECM, go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah, do I have permission to start this car?
Well, it does it very fast.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up toward the end of the show here. It's been another fabulous show.
That's right.
Thank you all for listening.
Callers and listeners.
Thank you for being here, Jody and Lynn.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Gary for producing the show, doing a fabulous job on the phones back there. You've been listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSEV The Voice. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show. Hey, if you need help during the week, go to our website, autoprosradio.com. Or if you need your car serviced, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area. Check out our Facebook page at autoprosradio.com for the latest posts on what's going on in the automotive industry. Share a comment with us and tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.